right, here we go. Here we go.
Okay.
You know, Bianca, yeah. You know, when we don't get enough sleep, we make some bad decisions. Like, for instance, I was running on fumes for weeks, and I agreed to do a mattress commercial. It's fine. It happens. You wake up and you go, what did I say I would do? Tuft and Needle. The good people at Tuft and Needle. We're all lumped up. We're in bed together. I'm in bed with Tuft and Needle.
Ooh.
You're in there too, Banks.
Oh, yeah,
your cut.
And
Tuft and Needle is a good goddamn mattress. They just delivered mine. Slept on it last night.
Really?
Yeah. It's great. Ooh. And what I will say is I'm not going to say I'm not picky, but I like sleep. So I was happy to, I guess I'm not picky. Because I
do you like a firm or do you like a soft?
I can do what I'm like. It, what? This is asking a fat person what they like to eat. I like it all. I like it all.
No, you have to like one.
I know. It would be better for endorsements if I'd like one. I like their bed. It's a very, they sent me a great mattress.
Awesome.
So, and they can send it to you as well. TuftandNeedle.com. We'll flash it, swipe it, scrap it, and sleep and do the Twitter thing, which is you can go on Tuft and, if you hashtag Tuft and Needle, or if you ampersand whatever at Tuft and Needle hashtag sleepless decisions, and you can write a funny sleepless decision you make, and then they'll send you a mattress. If you win, terms and conditions apply.
Hey, baby.
Anyhow, let's go.
Can I tell you how old you are that you said ampersand?
Ampersand is a real thing.
I know it is, but no one says it anymore.
Well, it's the and. Well, that's, you know what the ampersand in? That's the at. That, or that's
no, no,
the
it's
and.
The and.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's not like it went out of business.
I know.
Like, ampersand. There hasn't been an ampersand here for 40 years. Yeah, so, but I've enjoyed the commercial. It got a lot of nice hits, a lot of nice.
Yeah, it's really funny.
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny jokes.
You've seen like some good sleepless decisions.
Yeah, there have been some funny ones. I can't remember any of them, but there were funny ones. It's like people like, I left the house without pants. I did that.
That's funny.
So, yeah, swipe it. How you feel, man? You guys ready to, you guys like content?
Maybe.
Because we make it. This is we are a walking, talking content machine, me and the Binkers since. Let's talk about the week on Earth. it was a wild. They're wild. They stay wild. Personally, let's open with a bomb in the VIP, please.
I'm straight bombing in the VIP.
I love these.
Tuesday, Wednesday, did a concert with James Blake, yeah. The great James Blake. It was at the Ace Hotel Theater, which is probably 1,000 seater.
It's so beautiful.
Mm-hmm. But so because they're all there to hear sad music, right?
Right.
All his fans. And I kind of knew that, but I didn't want to be like, ah! Right. I didn't want to be, I was just, I we're friends and it was fun. I don't right. care. I bring myself out.
Fun.
Like, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Neil Brennan. They have no idea.
Right.
And none of these people know who I am, or a lot of them don't know who I am. And they don't want comedy.
Dude, that's so funny.
So I'm basically just kind of eating it. The first 5 minutes was straight up like handing out flyers. It was like standing in front of Whole Foods going like, sir, can I do the comedy? So, yeah, observation about guns. Also, my act is not emo. You know what I mean? Like,
no, no.
And by the way, my tranny joke didn't work. Just
you
saying
did your tranny joke?
Yes. I want, and James was like, you can say it because you're not. And I'm like, no, they don't want, you can't, tranny, they think tranny's the N-word. It's not. But, whatever, bombed. And then get off stage. I'm in the back. James is great. And fucking Brad Pitt was there.
Oh, no.
Brad Pitt. Fuck. Now, Brad Pitt comes to the dressing room. I've heard ahead of time that he was a fan. So,
of who?
Come on.
okay.
of the kid, of me. So that was nice. So he was like, I'm a fan of yours too. I was like, I'm sorry to see me in such such a uncomfortable, in such horrible circumstances. He was like, no, man, we were dying. I was like, oh, yeah, I wasn't doing good.
We, who was he there with? Does he have a girlfriend?
He was there. No, he was there with, he came to the dressing room with two black women. You know, he makes all the black movies. He makes all the, black movies.
Kiss Me.
He made Kiss Me. I don't know what that is. He made
no.
To kiss you. He made Moonlight, and he made 12 Years a Slave. He produced them.
Oh yeah, what is it? B something.
What's Plan B.
Plan B.
Dee Dee Gardner, Jeremy Kleiner, and Brad Pitt. Here's what I'll say for Brad Pitt: best looking person ever. Best looking man I've ever seen in person. 6'1".
No, he's not that tall.
Yeah, he is, Bianca. I'm sorry to tell you, ladies.
Yay.
He's taller than me, and I'm 5'11". So, nice guy, but I was sorry to bomb. Then the next night, Billie Eilish came, and I forgot to bring up Van Halen.
Damn it. She's probably going to get that forever.
Yeah, I just forgot to bring it. Her brother was there. He makes all her tracks, and her parents, they're like a whole pack. So your friend Neil, I didn't bomb quite as badly the second night. But it was still tough going.
I was going to ask you to finagle me some tickets, but
I would have.
I had 10 comps.
I was like trying to give them away. Yeah.
I didn't get
it. I know. Because I don't know. I don't want to bug people.
I know. I'm the same way. It's like, you want to come to my thing? It's like, ugh.
Yeah, exactly.
You let
me
know.
I'm doing a recital. would you mind?
Or the worst is, will you come to my play?
Oh, like, improv play. No, yeah. It's fine. Let's keep it. This is for everybody. Unless you love James Blake. I know a few people that were like, you know him? They couldn't believe. And I was like, yeah. Like, oh my God. So, that was fun. Let's talk about the Will Swoosh it.
How you feel, Neil?
Brexit. Or not, well, the UK election. All right. First of all, somebody complained that Bianca was sniffling a lot.
I do.
Bianca's allergic to my dog.
Yeah, sorry. So when I get here, I get a little...
She gets a little sniffly.
And I'm never sniffly anywhere else.
Yeah, so somebody was like, I couldn't fucking listen to this fucking podcast.
You hurt my feelings.
Because of your sniffles. Yeah, it's hurtful. It's not like we... Also, what... I never understand what people expect from these things. Like, these are homemade things. That's the fun of it.
DIY.
Yeah, so like the fun is you don't have to... buy a radio and you don't have to like listen to goofy fucking car ads. I mean, the occasional mattress ad, but but and then the people might sniffle. Sorry, boss.
Sorry, guys.
Also, you could just bring a kerchief.
I think you know what's weird. A kerchief.
Yeah.
I don't like seeing people blow their nose.
Nobody does.
Oh, okay.
But like, what are you gonna do? No, it's
invisible
gross.
Goo.
You don't like. You don't think that's hot. you don't trust that it's ever truly clean. Got it. Yeah, I hear you.
This, anyways.
All right. So we need to talk about the UK election. So the
order.
The Libbies got crushed,
bumbled.
The fact that they don't call them the Libbies is. I'm going to start calling us the Libbies. Yeah. The Libbies got pummeled, as Charlie Murphy used to say. We got pummeled, and. Here's what I'm going to say. Here is my official theory about humanity. First of all, I think that the left, the woke culture, overplayed their hand, and they're trying to they think scolding people is going to be attractive. It's not attractive. It's going to make anyone who's undecided like it's like I'm doing a bunch of jokes about like it sucks being liberal. I'm never going to be a Democrat. I'm never going to be a conservative, but like it sucks fucking being liberal.
I love all your it sucks being liberal jokes.
It's not fun. It fucking stinks. So I believe that the two biggest things in the world have been, and I've talked about this before, religion used to be a ballast against capitalism, right? People would at least pay lip service to honor the take care of the sick and feed the poor, and the rich man can is likely to get into heaven as a camel through the eye of the needle, all that biblical shit, right? That's over. we are now basically a secular society.
Yeah.
And even the people that once paid lip service to religion, the religious right in America is, other than abortion, they don't, that's their only tenet.
Yeah.
From, and no gay marriage and no abortion. Just, they just like the hate stuff. Like, what are the hate tenets? Yeah, we're with that. Okay. Although I, saying that you don't want abortion, I don't think is a hate thing. I understand it.
It's
right?
been used now. It's, you know, used as a form of
a cudgel. Yeah, it's a cudgel against poor people.
Cudgel, yes. The word I was thinking of.
So yes, the words escape you.
cudgel.
So that's A.
Right.
And B, I believe that people can sense that climate change is going to be a problem. On the right. I think even 100%. On the right.
Especially a lot of places that are heavily Republican are getting fucked over.
Right. But okay, so what I'm saying is people are now like, oh, the shit's coming down and it's about to be every man for himself. So let me get the jump on some tax breaks, on some keeping the poor out of my country, keeping the brown out of my country, keeping all of this stuff out of my country. And so they're voting in, particularly in England, and who knows what will happen here, but they're voting against all that. Their vote, it's every man for himself. It's the choice might as well be the election might as well be every man for himself, check a box, or
right.
collective, check a box.
Right.
And people are like,
because
there's no downside. If you're not morally guilty, there's no downside to voting Republican.
Right.
There's no downside. If you're like employed, you get to keep a gun. You get to, it's like you get all the stuff, you lower taxes, keep a gun, and then you can tell God, like, hey, you know, I was against these abortions.
Right.
Just so you know. So I believe that's what's driving that tide to me.
You know what's interesting is that saying, you know, the climate change is real, it's come for us. I'm surprised more right-wing the religious right isn't into it more, because it kind of mimics some Bible
that is
shit.
Biblical? Yeah. I mean, that is a good point, that it's like, surprising that they haven't said that this is God's will.
Yeah, like it's kind of the same thing. One is,
well, that would be a massive change of story, even for them. Even for them to change, that would, like, be
that
too
is
big
a
of a
hard pivot.
Even for them, that would be like, I don't know if I can sell this. But yeah, I'm not even shocked about England. I'm just like, I don't know. Twitter, I mean, someone made a Venn diagram of like who voted liberal, who voted conservative, and how many of them were on Twitter. And I think it might have been made up, but like,
yeah, I was like,
the amount of people that were on Twitter or the tweets or whatever around conservatism was like tiny relative to the amount about liberals. So it's liberals can't believe that Twitter isn't the world.
Well, let's be honest. England and London are so different.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the disparity between them shocks people. Like, I've been there. It's so multicultural. It's like, most of London.
England is. Sure, maybe like Birmingham.
Yeah, maybe.
Like,
and so maybe a few college towns.
The
either.
Rest of it's like, glee. I don't think Oxford's like, super brown. I mean, I don't know. But yeah, it's England. There's a lot in London, it's very multicultural.
Yeah.
But after that,
hard pressed it.
And people are fucking racist. That's the thing that I think liberals are underestimating. It's like, they're racist.
People are racist. Everyone is racist.
I don't think liberals are racist. I think they at least try to not be.
Oh, they try to not be.
But everyone's racist. So you're trying to get an electorate to do the right thing with no incentive.
Right.
Why would they do the right thing? The right thing being, don't be racist, don't be sexist, don't be bigoted. What's the benefit? I don't believe in God. What's the benefit? I don't believe, the only morality I believe in is capitalism. That's most people. The only religion I believe in is paying my fucking bills.
But so, you're none of those things, and you are, you don't believe in God, and you know, what's your motivation?
Because I don't, because I, as much as I don't believe in God, the Catholic shit is baked in. And I feel like I have to be a good little boy and help every, I don't understand why people feel they need so much money. Yeah. I get needing some money.
For sure.
And I get needing, but if you're talking about me, I don't understand how you can get over a certain amount of money and not go, well, I'm not going to need this.
Yeah.
I should give this, I should just start like floating this. By the way, somebody emailed us and donated to charities in on our behalf for Christmas. They gave $25 to like a school of music in my name and $10
wow.
to like a black charity in your name. So that's pretty fucked
ouch.
Up. Yeah. The what? Bronx Conservatory of Music from me. And Bianca, you got African Dream Academy Foundation, $10.
Listen, I'm not going to complain.
I mean, you can't complain, but I think the message is pretty clear. I don't...
That is my favorite thing ever.
Yeah, it's fucked up. But I don't... But so I don't understand why rich, why billionaires... Yes, thank you to that.
Thank you very much. That's awesome.
Evan.
They really should have donated the Black Foundation in your name.
I mean, if truth be told, truth be told, homie. so I don't, I mean, they're liberals are trying to get, you know, it's like Hillary saying the deplorables or,
right.
or Elizabeth Warren gave a speech where she kept going like, men didn't help us. It's like, yo, shut the it's fuck up like... about men. Shut up. You're trying to win an election with people who are not predisposed to like you. You can get them, but you're not going to get them by guilting them.
No. Well, it's interesting because if you go, if you rewind the clock, back in the day, our you know, politics were really based on economics much more.
Yeah.
How long run, short run.
Mm-hmm.
Which way do you think that will stimulate the economy more mm-hmm. to get jobs? It was not who is more religious. It was, it had so much less to do with who you were as a person. I watched this documentary where that turned. I can't remember.
They brought, once they brought abortion into it. They brought abortion into it in the late 70s.
The right
yes.
always, they were like, that's one of our hardline things because you always get the evangelical vote.
Yeah, but they, before that, the right had zero,
zero.
About abortion.
There's, zero. Oh. You can't even find it. And so it's just... It's yeah. just, it's all
you're trying bullshit. To get people to vote for you using the worst the fucking incentive, the, with no incentive other than like, cuz.
It's as, I feel like after Trump, before Trump, the game was being as extreme as you possibly can. And I think the pendulum's swinging because now we're so divided that.
Being as extreme before Trump?
So I felt a lot of people's strategy was you had to be more right to win, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like we keep going farther and farther to the extremes to win, and then we have Trump. I mean, there's a reason why I was like,
I don't
Bernie
Trump
and
to
Trump.
Me is a
he's not so typical
it's a,
right
a cult personality. It's not, it has very little to do with actual policies, because what oh, are yeah. his actual policies,
like trade, besides trade stuff?
Yeah, which okay.
Actually, I'm like, whatever. He can figure trade out. Whatever. Yeah. He's a businessman. That's the one thing.
But
I'm
he's
like,
not a. He's fucking not a businessman.
He's not. Yeah, he's like
always bankrupt. He's bad. He's if there's one thing he's bad at, it's business. He's actually good at show business.
He's very good at show business.
He's good at show business.
Licensing.
Yes, he's good at show. He's bad at fucking everything else. So it's a showbiz victory. The same way the most charismatic person wins every time, every election. The person who sells the most Halloween masks, true, and the most charismatic person wins the election.
But then,
Obama was charismatic as shit.
As fuck. But yeah. they just passed, I what is it, Nancy Pelosi did the impeachment, whatever, speech, not speech, but when they come
yeah,
together.
The charges, yeah.
They, like a press conference?
Yep.
And then she left and immediately did another press conference, which of course got no coverage, where the Republicans and the Democrats agree to let Trump's trade deal, like the American
yeah,
trade deal,
the go MCA, the, whatever.
The national.
USMCA, yeah.
Yeah, whatever. And she's like, it's going to be good for jobs. So I'm like, whatever, like, good. That,
yeah. By the way, it's basically exactly the same as NAFTA. It's what like it, with minor fucking consent, like minor shit. And there was like a thing where they shouldn't have signed it because he can run on that and all that stuff. He's just the problem with him. It's not he just. There are people that don't want to. They don't believe in objective truth anymore because they didn't like it. So they go, well, I don't like it. Next step, I don't believe it. So they've got can people get their news from Trump and Fox, and it's not the news. It's basically just bullshit that feels good,
right?
And they call it the news, and that to me is the. That's a really difficult spell to break. And that's also that's the charisma machine. It's like, even if you say, well, Obama's not going to run again, but there's nobody that could kind of, that's a star like that right. That's running against him.
It's true. And when he was running against Hillary, the whole time I was like, bitch, take off your gloves. Like, this is so, and not even because I'm that, some team Hillary at all. But it was just this unfair fight. It was this charismatic guy who's interrupting her.
Yeah.
No, not yeah. true. Yeah. You're wrong. Just good at that stuff.
Yeah. He's a good, well, he's kind of, he didn't win any of those debates. No, but I remember one of them, we watched The Daily Show and me and Trevor were like, oh, he just won. And then everyone was like, no, she won. And me and Trevor were like,
he just won.
By Comedy Club rules, he just won. Like, just so you know, like, we were the only, like, club comics around. I think Wolf was there, too. And we were like, no, he won that.
But that's the thing. It's like, you kind of got to. I just feel like after Trump, though, everyone does feel so divided. I don't think it's just one side feels divided and the other feels a victory.
Well, I mean, it divides two things. So it's just a matter of how do you get people that are. That are just predisposed to vote for you. It's not going to be by guilting them. It's just not.
That's my point, is that now, instead of running on these fringe talking points, you really just have to figure out what unifies us. Jobs, health, like these things that it doesn't matter where you're from.
Just take morality out of it.
For real.
Just take fucking morality out.
Straight economics.
I was talking to somebody yesterday, a mutual friend of ours, who's a comedian, and he said, you can guess who this is by what he said. He said, I know white people are involved when the word fair is used. It's like fair? Fucking fair's done. Fucking over. Fair's been gone for like really ever. And then, I mean, forever. And then,
forever. It's never like, been there.
And then for the working class white person, 35, 40 years. And it just took them for, well, the black people and brown people forever. But it just took people to a longer time to realize. They kept going like, oh, maybe they're telling no, they're not going to tell you the truth. The electorate, electoral system set up to be rigged for rich people. So,
yeah,
and it just took people a long time to figure it out. And Trump played on that. And at the same time, is a rich person that continues to rig it against them.
But it doesn't make any sense why.
But he's the first rich person to say, hey, this is fucking rigged.
He did.
He's like, the first person to say it's rigged. Like, other than Bernie, who is not a star.
No, he's not a star. But I just, if you're, it makes more sense that he would rig it to him and his, like, people who contributed to his, I mean, I don't understand why we think if you can donate to someone's campaign, like, they're going to somehow serve against
you? What mattress company do you think I'm going to be predisposed to? The one that gave us money is the one I'm going to side with, generally speaking. So why do you think it's going to be any different
than a celebrity endorsement?
Which grandma are you nicer to? The one who gave you $500 in the card or the one who gave you a 20? Granny 500 is the one you're fucking more, the one you're more disposed to like. It's that fucking simple. So take morality out of it. Take should out of it and just go like, okay, here's what we're going to do. And I'm not talking about what's right and what's fair and the women, it's a woman's time. And it's like, okay, shut up about that. What are you going to do to help me in the next 3 months, lady or man, right, or whoever. Lady or man.
They're honestly, though, just off the record, fucking dorky.
Yeah.
Just like, I'm like, you guys are not.
They're not stars.
You dorks. Like, what is
George
this,
Bush,
like,
say what you want about George Bush. He clearly had a big dick because of the way he walked. You could see the outline of his dick.
Ew,
the way
no,
he walked. You could see he just had a giant hog and people could sense that.
Yeah, I would love to drink with George Bush.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
He was like a fun guy.
But there's something so strange about how careful everyone's being.
If anyone, like, doesn't, hey, will you run muted footage of George Bush in the flight suit? And Bianca, get a look at this guy's hog.
Okay.
You're not going to believe
it. You know, I love a good hog. I watch Oz on repeat.
Give me a wide shot. Well, a dedication to Bush in his flight suit. No. Yeah, he landed. Yep, here he comes. I don't know how, what kind of, what the altitude okay. did to his hog, but you're in for a nice.
Okay.
Nothing yet. Nothing impressive.
You know I'm blind.
There we go. Oh, Lord. Show me some hog. Oh, my God. That's the first hog right there.
The first hog. You're so stupid.
That's the first hog. Yeah, the guy had a fucking hog, and people sensed it. So, who's the most charismatic? Who's not a fucking dork?
Or you have an opportunity to change it. Or you have an opportunity to say, hey, guess what? We don't have to agree. We don't have to like each other. We don't have to be the same religion. This is not what this country's about. Just go all the fucking way back. Like, do you want your kids to be safe? Do you want to put, like, food on the table? Like, just
yes,
take it away.
Right. But if you don't do it in a sexy way, it's Trump will just fucking say it. Like, I did that. I'm doing
Isn't
that.
Isn't everyone,
if
though?
Everyone's gets,
sick of it.
Of course, but
more than ever.
Yes,
like,
but what,
I don't want
what
sexy
opportunity
anymore.
Do they have?
I want how I don't get it. I don't need to like my boss as long as he keeps the business
yeah,
running.
But Bianca, if you look at me and look at that fucking hog.
Oh my
I
god!
Mean, I'm not. I got no reason to say the guy's got a big hog.
Yeah.
I got nothing against.
He does behave like it.
He walks fucking like
Laura Bush just doesn't look like she'd take it. Sorry,
she rude. Can't. Well, they can't. Had two kids and then that was it. Although you never know. You never know. Clearly she did. So she married the guy for a reason. I mean, you know, you never know Listen, who needs to get
I want my portrait
hammered.
Drawn by
she
him
likes
now.
To get she likes to get destroyed. So
paint me, daddy.
Yeah. So they're not sick of people are going to like the more charismatic person over time.
But we've seen this one already. And I feel like, you know, when you date someone, you've dated a lot of models. They're all sexy and they're wild and maybe they force you to go dancing once and you maybe enjoyed it. I don't know, something
right,
funny.
Right. Yep.
But after
some fake woman, some fake story like, imagination, like, they went dancing and you finally opened up. Yeah.
I'm just saying sometimes people can charm you, you know?
Yes.
But then you start dating them and you realize they're a slob and they're always late and they're this and that. After 4 years, like when, let's say that relationship ends and you meet a similar, I mean, isn't it just a red flag?
Right. Yes. But they're not gonna, I mean, a few people have been doing, Rogan did a joke about how we won't go
oh, yeah.
like the crazy
now
hot
we're
bitch.
Whore.
And then, yeah. I don't think it's that clear because Reagan was all charismatic.
He was very
George Bush Sr.
Was
one-termed. And the reason he got elected in the first place is because he was
the
Reagan's
vice
boy.
President, yeah.
And then he was running against Mondale, which is like, whoa, how'd you beat him? and then, or he ran against, I don't know who he ran against. And then, once he ran against Clinton,
oh,
he fucking ate his lunch.
Who did Bob Dole run against Clinton?
Yeah.
He was
96.
Like, so
yeah,
stiff.
Yeah, falling off stage. Literally falling off stage.
I don't remember that.
He
can you play it, Will?
Bob Dole fell off. That's mostly what he fell off two stages, I think.
He didn't fall off two stages.
Here we go.
Shut up.
Dab, dab. Oh, we already fell.
Yeah, no, I just.
This is a good one.
Oh, God, no.
You're done.
You cannot.
Announce your resignation. You're not.
You can't win if you.
You're not going to win.
What?
You cannot win.
Why is he falling so much?
You cannot. You're. Okay, sir. You're disqualified. That's collusion.
That's cool.
Basically, like that should be like you should be impeached.
That should be in high crimes and misdemeanors.
Yeah, high crimes and misdemeanors. You're done. And then it's Gore versus Bush. Fucking Bush got a giant hog.
Yeah,
and doesn't go like, oh.
Al Gore was the Elizabeth Warren.
Yes,
vibe.
Like yeah, it's the right thing to do. I don't give a fuck about the right thing. Stop it with the moralizing. Stop.
Well, if you think about it, it's like he was like, oh. You ain't winning if it's in Florida. If the vote issues in Florida.
Right. Yeah. Like, I mean, he technically did win, but.
I'm sure he did, but.
Hanging chads, et cetera. But so the most charismatic person's going to win.
Sorry.
So again, take a charisma on command class, Liz Warren and Biden. And again, Biden could win if the left will just shut the fuck up about
it. That's the thing. He's the guy.
Yeah. Just shut the fuck up. Shut up.
He's weird.
We don't want to win this way. Then you, all I heard was, we don't want to win. That's all people hear. It's like, not like, okay, great. Then like this.
Biden's the only guy.
Yeah.
Biden's
no,
so
it's
got to
be perfect.
Biden's so charismatic.
I know, if he's allowed to be, especially in like a nursing home. swoosh it. How you feel, man? Okay. All right. First of all, I would like to say that we need to do a Peloton update, which is the woman.
Oh, yeah.
The actress said that it was her eyebrows, like I'd said.
Which is what exactly.
Yeah, it's exactly what I said. She, now, was she victim blaming? Was she self-blaming? Yeah, she's self-blaming. She's blaming herself. It's like a good woman. She blames herself. The good abuse victim. And we're going to get to the violence against women after this.
Hot topic.
But yeah, she admitted that the problem was the angle and the
acting. It's also her acting. I'm sorry.
You
acted.
But again, I'm sure they didn't do takes like that every time. I'm sure they had multiple. I'm sure they had five takes of her going like, I'm pretty scared. Like, I'm sure they got options. There she is. It's scary. It's Blair Bike Project. So that happened. More importantly, we got a bunch of rape stuff.
Wow.
Harvey Weinstein settled, paid nothing.
And won't admit blame.
Won't admit blame. And it kind of wasn't on the front page.
It also isn't his money.
Yeah. It's the insurance company who insured Miramax. So rich men, you've done it again.
Rich whites.
And by the way, it's only $25 million, which I'm really, really surprised how low that is.
How many victims are they speaking to? Because, you know, not everybody
like
a lot.
12 or something? There's like old assistants, 30 victims. So that's
so
like
everyone
not
gets
that
what? 600,000? No, less. It's 25 million.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, they get 7.
Yeah.
That sucks.
That's like not even enough to buy a nice house in LA.
Back in my day, if you got raped, you'd get something from it. I don't know how they came to that. I'm sure it was mostly just they just wanted it to fucking be over.
It was probably so much that mitigating. You know when they do the
lawyer,
they go in one room and the other room. Yeah. Mediating. Thank you.
There was there was an article, or there was a New York Times the weekly on FX
the daily?
And Hulu.
No,
there's a weekly video show about this story and how corrupt the lawyers were. I think it's about Harvey, right? Yeah, I think it's about Harvey.
Okay.
How corrupt? No, I'm sorry. It was Weinstein. It wasn't Weinstein. It was the fucking molester guy.
Epstein,
yeah. The level of corruption with the lawyers there was breathtaking.
Damn, I wanna see that.
Yeah, it's really good. Now the question is, how soon will he be producing movies?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure he probably already is through
LLCs and change the name and the da 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 da.
It's so funny. It's such a dirty name now. I watch old cartoons I love from childhood all the time. And there's one called David the Gnome. And I was watching it, and it said, you know, producers Harvey Weinstein. This is from like the early 80s, the late 80s, early 90s when it came out, I think. I was like, man, that's such a gross looking thing to me now. It's on a kid's show. And, but he was just some like farty dude just trying to produce something.
Just some guy.
Nothing special at all.
Yeah. But now the question is, will he come back? He's going to have a hard time. I do like that they barked him away at the comedy show like a couple months ago.
Which one?
There was a comedy show that he went to. And the female comic was mentioned that he was there and then was making fun of him. And it wasn't like great jokes, but it was like super woke. And that I like. I like that because it's like, well, if you want to come to a public place, you're going to get fucking shat upon. So that's...
It's going to be hard for him to let go that he had this cushy life for a long time at the top.
He's still gonna have a cushy life. He still has a cushy life, but he's just not gonna have power, and he's not gonna get the level of, he's not gonna get Meryl Streep and Cate Blanchett and all those people you're gonna be hard. This is where like cancel culture because it is gonna make it very, very difficult for women to work with him,
right?
And men, by that same token. Now, I'm completely contradicting myself because that's why the right is winning. So I don't fucking know. Right. So, which gets to our next
story. But this is an all morality issue. This isn't...
Yes, but it's into morality and forgiveness and the left not wanting to forgive... And now, having said that, the right canceled the Dixie Chicks. So
they all do the same thing when it goes against.
Yeah. Once it's against their group, then it's. Yeah. Then it's. Or they went against Michelle Wolf. They go against tons of people. So for her makeup joke, how dare she? I'm happy that that's not a very satisfying ending. To me, $25 million is not satisfying. That to me is actually unsatisfying. Where Epstein killed himself, whatever you want to say, I have a whole reason like that where he actually killed himself, and all the victims were saying like it's not satisfying, and I was like that's pretty bad. This is fucking really unsatisfying because he's alive. Everyone gets broken off, probably sign NDAs.
Probably sign something that says you can't ever sue him again in the future.
Yeah, oh, of course.
I mean, obviously.
Absolutely. So that's not...
And he's been doing it for decades.
He's been doing it for 30 years, since that cartoon.
My cartoon, no.
He raped everybody on the cartoon. Okay, now Oprah, in other rape news, Oprah... is making a documentary about Russell Simmons and his rape stuff.
She's highlighting women who've been sexually abused, and somehow they've all only been abused by Russell Simmons.
Is that what the idea
is? I don't think it's about him so much. It's about their abuse, a little bit like more of the Michael Jackson one. Like, it's just the abusers talking.
The abused are talking?
Yeah. Or maybe two of them. It's Russell Simmons and one is another thing. Fuck, I actually can't.
Hold on. Simmons shared a photo of himself sitting with Oprah. Is that a new photo?
No, I think he's just saying his point was like, we are friends.
Yeah, again, I think you just got to take it, buddy. I think you just got to take it.
For sure. It is weird, though, that Oprah hobnobs with all these motherfuckers.
Yeah, it's the winner's circle. What'd I tell you? They don't...
But she's going against the code.
Yeah, but at the last second. It's not, I'm sure she heard some shit before. And it's, there was a bunch of shit this week about Michelle Obama and George Bush again, George W. Just about how that it's the powerocracy. It's like, yeah, man, it's comfortable.
Yeah.
It's comfortable.
And you would do the same thing.
Yeah.
It's not like these people are made of
if
gold.
If you think that someone in first class, if you're a rich person, you're sitting in first class, and Russell Simmons got on the plane, or Harvey Weinstein or Epstein, or if you think a rich person would say, I'm going to go back and sit and coach, then rather than sit with these, you're fucking out of your mind.
Yeah, no.
They just go, no, I can deal with it. I'm happy to sit here, and I'm uncomfortable a little bit. Thankfully, this seat has a built-in massage.
Oh, those seats, man. Nothing can get me.
Oh, I got Bianca with that one. She was back there. She was on her way to DC.
I did. It's dark. You're sleeping like this. You have a cookie crumbs in your hand.
Yeah, I love cookies.
And I'm the only one up.
Yeah. They're not. These people are not truth to power people.
No.
Oprah's never been a truth to power person.
But that's why, and I love Oprah. Kind of. I like that she's also kind of weird, and I've heard that she's kind of a bitch sometimes. But
sure.
I mean, whatever. I don't need her to be.
So what? So is fucking everybody.
Fantastic.
What do you think? Think of a guy. They've all been a fucking asshole.
I love it. I prefer them to be. It's more humanizing. But it's a little hypocritical of Oprah, because all you do is kiss these people's asses. And the moment, there's something about it that, I don't mind. Who gives a fuck about Russell Simmons? It's more like, Oprah, shut up. Because the next person you're texting and calling today, now you're going to do an expose on them tomorrow. I mean, she just is too inside.
It's winner circle shit. And there is no, if you're in the winner circle, it's your priority is comfort.
Right.
And your priority is access, which speaks to the press. It's like when I went to the correspondence dinner, or, you saw in DC the amount of like everyone's together and ha 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 ha. Like the ha 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 is the point. The point is not legislation, speaking for the people, representation. No. The point is, that's
Gotham
the point.
City.
Yeah. The point is Gotham City. The point is not to do the right thing. And the point with her was to, Russell's about yoga now, and Russell's about, and it's like, okay, cool. He's not.
And you knew it.
And you sensed it.
I feel like if you were a celebrity, especially when Russell Simmons was like
popping
and like, what do you mean? You knew. Oprah here is friends with celebrities. She's not an outsider anymore. That's why sometimes if I watch Fox News.
Like, Gayle is out. I see Gayle.
What do you mean?
Gayle King?
Oh, she's...
She's out. And if you think she's not going back with the tea, homie, and telling the Big O about it. So, again, these people are hypocrites, and it's just what serves me in this quarter.
Exactly.
What serves me in this quarter? Oh, I should probably... sexual assault's a big... I mean, again, it's not like Oprah hasn't been about sexual assault.
No.
But Oprah likes fighting battles she can win. Like James Fry. Like, I'm going to fucking beat you over the head. Okay, dude.
She wants to club you today.
Yes. And it's virtue signaling, basically. Oprah's the queen virtue signaler and, like, almost invented it.
So a lot of black people are annoyed because they feel like she doesn't go after white guys and only goes after black men. Michael Jackson, Gayle went after R. Kelly, and now Russell Simmons. So that's like, everyone's very on my black blog.
Right. Yes.
They're in
but
a war.
Again.
She's probably like, let me handle the brothers.
I'm sure it's not even that conscious.
I don't think it is conscious.
It's just, where's the heat? The heat is on Russell. There's a lot of attention. I mean, Russell didn't get a ton, but like,
he didn't get a ton.
Michael Jackson and R. Kelly are big ones.
So is Harvey Weinstein, and they are friends.
Yeah. Or their winter circle.
Yeah, winter circle friends. Tons of kissing cheek photos.
Yeah.
That is kind of weird because I do actually think the Harvey Weinstein thing is convoluted. Meaning,
in what way?
A documentary wouldn't hurt just to lay it all out there.
There were documentaries.
No, I know. I'm just saying that, like,
Harvey May. Kidding. From Miramax. They're
as in, it would be as interesting to see Oprah delve into Harvey as Russell.
The Harvey's convoluted in that it's casting couches and
right.
It's a genre of porn. It's literally
everyone
a genre
knows what
of
a casting
porn.
Couch is.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's why guys do things. The reason guys do things is to so that they be get status and use it to have sex with women. That's the oldest trick in the book, as it were. So for all the women that didn't want to have sex with Harvey, it seems like he must have had a lot of them did have sex with him. So
not in a lot of them. I'm sure there's a lot of people who voluntarily had sex with him.
Yeah. So that's where it gets convoluted. I mean, again, it's not like Bill Cosby could have fucked all those women straight up too, but he liked poisoning them.
Do you think there's something being a guy with little notoriety? Is there something about getting the control aspect? Do you think that's why?
For them?
Well, I mean, obviously you don't go around drugging and raping women, but I mean, if a guy
for now,
once this podcast gets once popping,
I mean, guys, it's tough to needle.
Tough to needle.
Guys, if you don't go to tough needle, don't leave them out of it.
Meaning, is there a reason why someone who could have sex with a lot of women voluntarily, and they're probably getting sweated by women, go after the chase of it?
This is what I was talking about Epstein. So people want to make this Epstein thing an allegory about rich people, right? Like the rich people are hiding this thing that there's a huge cabal of rich pedophiles.
Yeah.
People are not, what my argument against it is, there's no more pedophiles amongst rich people than there are amongst the general population. So once you get rich, you can do shit to be a more effective pedophile. Right, Michael Jackson, Epstein being good examples. I don't believe that. I think the assumption with the Epstein rich people conspiracy shit is all these rich people are pedophiles. And it's like, no, they're not.
Right.
You don't become a pedophile when you make $100 million. You don't like ding bong, like I want to fuck kid. You don't. Right. So Bill Cosby probably was into drugging women before he was even doing stand up.
Right.
You know, I don't think it's, I don't think you
think
get,
there's just some,
I don't think your sexual tastes get quirkier with access. I could be wrong because I've heard people have posited that you have to keep getting crazier and crazier and crazier, like right. Two way, three way, four way. Like you just, yeah. But I also think sex is just about efficiency. Like how can I have the quickest orgasm? Like in the shortest, soonest orgasm I can have, which is why Epstein had just girls massaging him like in the day.
Damn,
in his fucking house.
Disgusting.
So
it's probably something that gets exploited when you have
you
power.
You just have access. It's something you wanted. You get money and you go, oh, you know what? I think if I break some people off, I could do that thing I like doing.
It's like having Lord of the Rings.
It's like having Lord of the Rings. You are Gollum.
I've seen one, Bilbo Baggins.
I saw one. I don't think that was the name of it.
Oh, he was in the beginning. It was the one.
He's in all of them.
Okay.
He's the main character from Lord of the Rings.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. It's fine. They're writing Half-Baked 2.
So conflicted about
this. And I wish them all the luck in the world. If they make Half-Baked 2, if Half-Baked 2 gets a studio release, I will give you $10,000.
Me?
Yes. Because there's no fucking way that's
going to. Well, you did promise me at an event, if you cried, you'd if I don't cry, I'll give you $1,000. I was like, okay. And at the end, I was like, did you cry? And you're like, almost. And I'm like, that's not a cry. Give me $1,000. And
then all right.
No, I'm joking. I'm just saying your wagers are
fine. You want your money?
Like what?
Yeah, they're
10K.
Yeah. So they've hired a guy named Justin Hires that I know.
Yeah, I know him too. He's great, but it's not him. It's someone is making this happen.
He goes, it's cool. It's
like, did he reach out to you? Yeah. Oh. No, listen, for him it's probably cool.
Mm-hmm. Me and Dave are never gonna make it. So
But why does anyone need to make this?
Because it's the intellectual property thing. They Universal, everyone, no one at Universal knows how to write. None of them are writers.
Right, yeah.
They're all suits. Executive suits. So there's someone in charge of go through our library and see if there's anything we can remake or reboot.
But
that simple.
Half-Baked bombed.
That's right.
It only became
on
a
video.
Cult classic.
Yeah.
Way after the fact.
Yeah, but that so did Harold and Kumar. Again, Harold and Kumar did pretty good.
But what I mean is there was some magic about you guys put so much into it, didn't get a very good reception, but then after the fact, everyone's like, no, actually, this was pretty good. I feel like that's a very
specific
to that time period, to this, we got to do
the
this.
The things
this
that are hope. Good about Half-Baked are me and Dave's DNA.
Yeah, there's so much hope. There's so much, probably a little naive. No?
On our part or their part?
You guys'
part. Our DNA in terms of the comedy parts, it's funny. There's about 15 minutes of Half-Baked where you go, I can see how this becomes Chappelle's Show. But they're not going to be able to. I mean, that's like the rest of it's just fucking goofy, dumb plot.
No.
I mean,
really
I know.
Don't downplay.
No.
What I mean is, you guys had hope. You had this opportunity, and you worked hard, and you didn't know what was going to happen. Whereas this remake, what are you going to do?
Well, it's just like
what? How are you remaking that? That's like remaking Cable Guy,
right?
Or
speaking of which, I'm kidding. No. They want me to rewrite. I'm kidding. I think I'm going to do it, but they wouldn't though because Judd wrote Cable Guy, and they just wouldn't.
Judd wrote Cable Guy?
Yeah.
No, he didn't.
Yeah.
What? That's so funny.
Yeah.
Sorry. Does it upset you?
No. I don't. I have so little relationship with Half-Baked. I don't even.
No.
It's like it I don't even recognize it as my son. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't acknowledge that. I got a son in Universal. I made more in residuals than I did up front.
Do you got points on the back end?
No. You just get residuals like they
when
have
it plays
to pay
on TV.
You, yeah.
And
the Writers Guild minimum residuals.
And yours don't dwindle like actors?
No, they dwindle and then they like dwindle and then go back up, dwindle. Like it's you get paid the first and then it's like
someone buys it and then they do
10 things and then it goes back and then it like resets.
Oh.
So I've actually made double in residuals when I made up front.
Damn.
Yeah.
You got to pay taxes on that?
I do, Bianca. The thing that I think about sometimes is people like a guy like Eddie Murphy, who has been making movies for 40 years, the amount of residuals he has, the amount of revenue streams of like Shrek, Beverly Hills Cop, Coming to America, 48 Hours.
48
fucking
Hours.
Clumps.
Boomerang.
Like
Norbit.
The amount of like, you want to talk about a passive revenue stream, probably making $4 million a year on residuals.
So if you make a movie and whatever the guild laws are for that time, they stay or do they change with time?
No, they'd stay.
Oh, that's fucking good.
Well, but they weren't amazing. They weren't like, they were fine.
I'm just saying Eddie Murphy probably has all these.
Yeah, but Eddie Murphy made $95,000 for 48 hours.
Wow.
He either made 95 or 105.
That's so little.
I know. And he's like, but you couldn't tell me shit. It was the greatest summer of my life. It's like, you don't make money. He's not making money up front. Who? Why would they pay him?
No, yeah. No, that's fine.
He told me I'm making and pulling that. It's either one. It's around there. But it's not like.
It's a good story nonetheless.
Yeah.
It's funny.
It's, and then he makes 25 for Shrek 2. 25 million. So it's like, no, Sheba's making a profit. His movies have made $7 billion.
What the fuck?
Yeah, it's just like stratosphere. So best of luck to the team over at Half Baked too. Gabby Union is suing America's Got Talent and Fremantle. And
what's up with Leno?
Leno made a joke about Asian people eating dogs.
When?
And Gabby wanted him to go to Variety reported that during filming of a segment, Leno joked about a painting that featured Simon Cowell surrounded by dogs. Leno joked that the dogs looked like something one could find on the menu at a Korean restaurant, much to the chagrin of the very few Asian staffers. So Gabby apparently wanted him to go to HR for sensitivity training.
Was she annoying to work with? Like, what's going on?
I don't know. I mean, you tell me.
This whole thing of he just made a joke
that didn't work.
Yeah.
That's what comedians do. They make jokes that sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. There is a risk inherent with comedy. Sometimes it's a fucking gutter ball.
But when you take a comic out of a comedy club where they are in a bubble,
correct,
you cannot expect the world to. I think I love it. I do think it's crazy a little bit. It's like you say whatever the fuck you want on stage, and I think it's special. But you don't have fucking freedom of speech everywhere in that respect.
Yes, but I don't.
It's like
I don't think Jay.
No, of
Jay's
course not.
70, by the way.
Yeah, his comedy's from a different time.
70. So he's 69. Sorry. So. What are you doing? So it's like, Gabby, you have fucking old uncles. If they did a segment on America's Got Talent, would everything they say be cool? And if it wasn't, would you send them to sensitivity training? Do you think it would help your old uncle?
I know, but I just think the risk is Jay's to take. I don't think it's everyone's to excuse him because he's a comic.
So send him to sensitivity training?
No, but maybe don't hire him next season.
He did a segment.
Oh, it's just
so Jay Leno, the host of the Tonight Show.
I know.
He can't be on TV again?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if you don't love his style of comedy and it's making people
uncomfortable. No, they just cut the joke. It wasn't even broadcast. They just cut it. He made it on the taping.
Right.
They cut it. So it would be like if you or I say something and we cut it, and then Will says, I think Neil needs to go to sensitivity training.
Right.
It's like, what?
Well, I guess my point is that, for example, who hosted the Oscars a few years ago? Billy, comedian, old school.
Crystal.
Earlier. Billy Crystal.
Yeah.
And he did a segment where he did blackface.
Uh-huh.
And
it was like it was comic relief, and it was like 15 years ago. But yeah,
no. It was. What do you mean?
It was for New Orleans. It was
no. This was like 5 Oscars ago.
Billy Crystal did blackface 5 Oscars ago. It was comic relief. I'm telling you, it was comic relief.
I didn't watch
and
that.
He did
so,
a
no. It was he hosted an award show recently, and I remember all these people were tweeting, like. You know, we've come so far that Billy Crystal's still doing blackface. Yeah, Oscar's blackface. That was
where?
Right there. Go up. There. Yeah, 2012.
Oh, he did.
He just did like the intro. You know how they have like an intro? He did blackface and everyone was like
again. What? Okay, that's
but that's what I'm saying. Like
blackface.
Then don't. No, I know. What I'm saying is why are you hiring Billy Crystal? Like, in my head, I'm just like, there's older comics. I'm not saying they can't work, but I don't know. Like,
what
you
do
can't
you
be
do
surprised.
If just be like, they cut
don't
the.
Hire.
My bet is the joke didn't work. I bet Leno's not like, well, didn't work tonight, but I'm going to fucking ride out
you're,
on these.
So you're saying you don't think
jokes.
He's always making multiple inappropriate jokes like that?
That's
I don't
the
think
nature
that
of comedy. It's again, the nature of comedy is. you say things that are on the border of appropriate and inappropriate. That's the otherwise it's not comedy, yeah, right? Yeah. So if Jay rolls the dice and makes it just a shitty joke and it's a groaner and you fucking roll your eyes, I don't think it's a human rights violation that needs to go to HR.
No.
And I fucking like Abby. It's a fucking cool person.
I'm just saying, if you don't like his style of comedy, if you realize, oh, he's kind of 70, it's kind of like, then that's one thing. If it's one joke, I mean, who? It's just one joke. Oh.
Well, that they cut out of the show.
Yeah.
It's not like they broadcast it where it's like, yeah, it's not, he's not sexually harassing people. He's not, he just literally made a fucking hacky dog eating joke.
Do you think that he went against Babbitt's show, or do you think she's just being sensitive?
Do you think he what?
Do you think he's going against the vibe? You know when somebody's not clicking, or do you think she's just being sensitive?
Who cares? She's being sensitive.
Yeah.
Obvious. If someone makes a hacky joke, right? They do eat dogs in Asia.
Korean.
They do.
Actually, he was very correct when he said Korean.
Correct. So
it's not Asia. It's so mostly Korean.
Okay. So what's the, so it's bad comedy. So he's violated. It's like shitty comedy.
Yeah. It's just the eye roll. Move on.
And it didn't work. They cut it. That's its own punishment.
For a comedian?
Yes. Doing a joke that didn't work, that's its own punishment.
He's going to think about it and be like, fuck.
Yeah, he'll be like, I don't care. Yeah, I'll go to HR. I'm fucking mad at the joke didn't work. Like, I'm telling you, like, that's the punishment. Like, it fucking didn't work.
And my only point is that I'm not surprised that people are very sensitive to any misstep in any direction.
Right, but why?
It just feels like everyone has a badge of like morality.
I was talking to Bijan yesterday, the great Bijan Champ, the editor. And he said, we were talking about how we can't even sense quality anymore. We can just sense if it's representational and upstanding wokeness. Mm. We're like, I don't know. It's a lot of representation. Like, Bijan said he was watching Bill Maher, and Bill Maher was talking about rats. And Bijan had the thought, you can't say that. Like, what about the rats? Like, you can't, we can't even, everyone's just policing everybody. To what end?
Yeah.
Like, to what end?
Right. If it just sounds bad, we're like, this is wrong.
It's a clanker. It's a good old-fashioned clanker. He threw up a fucking brick. The same way your husband used to fucking miss jumpers, Jay missed a jumper.
Ouch.
He missed a... Yes.
Ouch, Neil.
Yes, Jay missed a jumper. So you gotta let him slide, everybody.
Is she with Dwayne Wade?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah. And I like Gabby Union. She's a fucking, she's cool person.
I love her. She's so cool.
Yeah. So there.
There we go.
So we just got to let, 70-year-old makes a clanker. You just go, ugh. It's a, you know, all right. You don't like, who's got the fucking time
for real
to do all this? And also you're assuming that, and the point that my phone friends make all the time is, if they do this to white people, what do you think they're gonna do to black people?
Gonna do.
Exactly. So
done.
Yes.
Did done.
And can, like, they'll gladly do it to black people.
Happily.
Gladly. Happily.
Over anything.
With great prejudice and post haste.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the must not take yourself too seriously and 6-1 since that matters. And what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble. With exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Well, it's time to check those emails.
Emails.
It's time to check that email.
I love emails.
Emails.
You should record in a hypoallergenic studio. If Bianca can't take it.
God, sorry, y'all. Damn.
You've got mail.
Dear Neil and Bianca, I was listening to an older episode and heard you guys advise non-black folks to not talk black. However, I feel like lots of non-black people naturally acquire these terms. For example, Joe Rogan says holla a lot, and if it doesn't come across, and it doesn't come across as contrived, what gives? Is it okay to talk black jokingly if you're not trying to get cool points? P.S. Big feels from Canada. Holla. P.S. I witnessed YG in concert ask a stadium of whites to say the N-word just to get it out there. It was cringy as fuck. Was he sabotaging the etiquette? That was a pretty famous concert, actually.
Yeah. I think.
That was where he called a girl on stage. I went to a YG show at Vegas. Oh,
okay.
Did he do the Wiltern?
Yeah, it was so good.
Was it really?
It was so good.
Was it gangy?
No.
He's a Crip, I believe.
I know. Well, all the shirts he was selling are red.
Yeah,
red.
Blood.
But no, it was great. I danced all night.
He did a show at one of the clubs in Vegas, Dre's or something.
Dre's, probably. They all do Dre's.
Yeah. 2 a.m. start. Fantastic.
Oh.
No, it wasn't Dre. It was before they had... It was Dre's, but it was maybe before they had the outdoor area.
Outdoor. That's my kind of concert. Yeah. Were you okay?
Yeah. I've seen T.I. and I've seen Big Sean at Dre's, and I enjoyed myself.
Yeah.
A great deal.
Big Sean.
Holla, when Joe says holla, I bet he doesn't. I mean, holla is one of those things that's like so old.
We're not saying you can't say words that have made it into the general lexicon.
I also just thought of a good metaphor for these. It's like pharmaceuticals. Black people own the patent for 8 years and then it goes generic.
Totally.
Holla has gone generic. And anyone can say it.
Girlfriend. That came from black people. Now it's like, hey, girlfriend.
Hoodie. People don't remember that hoodie was a term that only black people use for a hoodie.
Yeah.
And now it's gone generic.
It's Kmart hoodies for five.
Hoodies. Hey, come on down to Kohl's for some hoodie.
White people just don't understand that. I mean, I just... The amount that black people add to the culture is so astounding. They would have like fucking, our national music would be Barbershop.
Barbershop Quartet, not Barbershop starring Cedric the Entertainer. Not the original motion picture soundtrack to Barbershop.
You're so stupid.
Classical, look, don't shit on white people's contribution to music. I love classical. And I'll stand by classical.
You're like, I'm not.
I mean, rock, everything else is kind of, once it came here, Africans brought the drums, white people brought technically melodies. That's my understanding. I'm sure someone will correct me.
Actually, black people couldn't play their drums. So that's how we have blues. Even though blues has drums in it. They like, when, let's say in the Southern Americas, black slaves were allowed to bring their drums. And so you have like samba, you have all these kind of cool music that came from it. But slaves weren't really allowed to play musical instruments. So that's why you have these old blues songs. You know what I mean?
I think we're both right and wrong.
Oh,
I'm
sorry. I didn't know what you were saying.
Because black people play the fiddle, there was shit that they could play.
They're doing something.
Yeah. You think they're not going to be, I mean, you've been to a cafeteria, they'll just play it on the, they make a beat on the table, on the slave table. So I think that we go with the generic, it's after a window, it goes generic, and that goes for dances.
Black pharmaceuticals.
It's black pharmaceuticals. That's the, black people are in the,
that's so funny.
Verbal pharmaceutical business. And they finally, they go generic.
Goodbye.
Guys, in the comments, let me know what words you think have gone generic. And come on down to Kohl's, get a hoodie. And while you're there, go to tuftandneedle.com.
You've got mail.
What up, Neil and Bianca? Want to know what you guys think about why people are so reluctant to forgive Michael Vick? He went to Leavenworth, Kansas for like 2 years and lost his NFL career, lost millions of dollars. And it seems like he's reformed and has not slipped up again. He's even an animal rights advocate now. So why don't people want to forgive him? On my timeline, it seems like it's mostly white people, mostly white women. But I've also seen some of those same people, for example, watch Bryan Singer movies, and that guy's a known pedophile. Anyways, want to know what your guys' thoughts are. Love the pod. And yeah, let me know.
Well, Neil, first of
take
all,
it, Neil.
This guy's got the classic small market white guy goatee. That is the goatee you grow if you're a cool white guy in most states. Now, what I will say about Mike Vick is, I think it's his skin color. Again,
you could be wrong. Limb here, you could be wrong.
And I don't like talking about this, but I feel like his skin color has something to do with it. It's virtue signaling. It used to be you used to forgive people, but now it's too satisfying to hold a grudge. And when you said white women, we were really shocked. Nobody saw this coming. I was blindsided. They remake the poster, The Blind Side, with me and fucking Sandy Bullock, except it's me and Sandra Bullock's help holding my hand because I'm the big dumb monster.
Oh my god!
So yeah, it's because people don't like forgiving, and that if it's between a black guy and a dog. Who do you think white women are going with?
I will say, though, this country is very sensitive to dog.
Dog business,
animals. Reigns. We like animals more than people, regardless of his color. I know. I feel like he can't get over it because of that. We like animals more than we like if a child's getting molested or a woman's getting abused or raped or even.
Hold on. There's killed. A dog being abused. We'll get to the rapes. And the children, no, women and children. It's men, women. It's Chris did the joke. Women, children, and dogs are the only things that are loved unconditionally.
It's true, but dogs more reign supreme.
Dogs reign supreme. Well, I have a joke that never worked, which is people think it's like a great thing to love dogs. It's like it's fucking nothing. It's not hard to love a dog.
Yeah,
it's fucking. It's love a fucking person.
Yeah, that's
fucking hard. Then you've done something. Like, post about people. Like, I'm working with people this weekend. Like, stop it with the dogs. Because do you love an unconditional love machine
right.
that worships you and doesn't speak English? Wow. Right. You're a fucking missionary. You fucking virtue signaling ass.
Preach.
Motherfucker.
Well, yeah, it's just very strange how I remember when I lived in Panama that I had this thought that you can tell you're not in a not like a developed country, but you're in a
dogs
more
are like
country.
Birds in other countries.
The neighbor in Panama to my tia was like, I don't know. It was just, it had a splint or something. I was like, oh, we got to take it to the vet. She was like, what the fuck is a vet, essentially? Yeah. And I was like, oh, well, where do you take it
where
when your dog
gets sick? Let him out and run?
She's like, you shoot it. Like, you shoot the dog. What do you mean? I'm not going
to. Donnell was the first person to let me know how black people feel about it, where they're just like, where white people are like, I'm doing a GoFundMe.
Yo.
My dog needs my plastic cat. Surgery. And like, no, I'm not doing that.
I know a girl who went broke trying to get her cat a heart like valve and then the medication. It was like 5 G's, did a GoFundMe, and then it died a month later.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, It's not going to live.
Never. This is a white friend, I'm assuming.
Oh, of the whitest of, course, of the
whitest of the white.
The whitest of the whites.
Yeah, they, you know, yeah, you go to third world countries and the dogs are like birds in that they just run free. And to the joke I have about dogs being captives, the dogs in third world countries are so much peppier and fun. They're having so much, yeah, a much better time.
They're free range.
Yeah, they're just fucking bopping around. Fucking, they understand traffic.
Yeah.
There's that video of the dog that fakes having an injury to get food.
Yeah. Oh, they
like
are they're
a third world dog is having a much better time than a first world dog.
Oh my God. I know someone who got a rescue and he wanted it to be, it was really friendly. Mm-hmm. It was a skittish around certain things. And he was always like, it was abuse. I'm like, it wasn't abuse. He yes. puts his head down because people pet him. He goes, anytime he hears a white plastic bag, he goes in there because he thinks it's food. I'm like, he's scrappy. He's just like from the streets. No one abused him. He's
is
nice.
Waiting to go outside and eat food right now. All he wants to do is go outside and eat food. He will eat fucking any. He has thrown up shit that was like, boy, oh boy, I don't know where you got that.
No.
Balls of tinfoil. Like,
Heath.
Yeah, he's like, that's his life. Yeah. He's in his halfway house waiting to go outside to really fucking pop it off. So that's, and also Michael Vick's black.
Goodbye.
Now, and of course, all these people would like criminal justice reform, except for him.
No, skip you. You've been bad.
You've got mail.
Hey, Neil Bianca, just watched Marriage Story. If you haven't seen it, I'd love to hear your thoughts. It's a mess, child of messy divorce. It made me sympathetic to how horrific an experience that must have been for my parents. But the movie got me thinking about how crazy it is when people get married super young. I'm 23 and I see people my age posting about their engagements daily on Facebook. I'm from the South, so maybe more people get married young around me. As someone in your 40s, referring to Neil, I truly couldn't guess Bianca's age. I mean that as a compliment. Do you think it's incredibly irresponsible for someone in their early 20s to get married? Pretty crazy you can't drink when you're 18, but you can make the most legally and financially significant decision in your life. I think that there should be, you should not be able to get married until you're 40. Now it's
30.
It creates 30 for women. How about that? To give you guys a shot at some fertility.
Thank you.
Go run around. Yeah, give you got a shot at fertility, and but people don't, and you should. There should be a minimum amount of time you know people. You shouldn't be able to get married within 2 years of meeting someone.
People get married after a year.
It's crazy. It's crazy. You don't fucking know them. You've been in no situations.
Pretty good.
You need 2 years is not even that. Again, it really should be 5 if I'm being honest, but
2 years, you know what you like, what kind of guarantee do you want here? Like if you,
an absolute guarantee, apparently,
but there's no contract or, you know, coming together that is that, you know, even business, you don't know each other.
Right. And most of these things fail. There's huge fucking repercussions. It's my point.
That's true.
Like there shouldn't, you don't know people. Until you can know someone a decade and then you get into a situation, it's like, oh, this is a new situation. I wonder how they're going to react to this. Oh, not well. Like,
right.
You don't know. You haven't been in enough situations with the person after a year or 100%. Two.
No, you haven't been. But also, I don't believe in like policing behavior. You want to go be a dum-dum, be a dum-dum.
Right. But if you're asking me,
what's a realistic age? I do believe in age limits, though. Age limits. Smoking, drinking, I mean, whatever. I care less about those.
I mean,
but
your fucking frontal lobe isn't formed until you're 25. So
25 to okay. Get married.
Yeah.
Would that?
I mean, it wouldn't satisfy me, but.
Okay.
I don't think there's any advantage to marrying someone young other than the fertility thing.
The fertility thing, but then we should just also make laws. We have some, but we should just make baby laws. We're like, yeah, you have a baby with someone. Take all the things we're like, oh, well, now we got to get married. Just apply to, like, legally you're binded to the kid. I mean, you are now, so I don't know what else is. If you have a baby out of wedlock, you're not that exposed to being fucked over.
If you're the mom, I mean, there's compensation stuff that right. you like child support and all that shit.
Yeah.
But it's not a matter of being fucked over. It's just you don't know. You're getting into this huge lifelong agreement with somebody that you barely know. You barely know the person. Everything I know about you, and I've known you 8 years or something, a lot of it's just guessing, extrapolating from what I know in the experiences we have had.
Right.
But socially, we barely, like, I went to your birthday party 1 year. We went to Dave's party or something.
We've been to, with Dave
a couple parties. But I don't know what you'd be like. I hope. But yeah, if you weren't what I thought you were. I couldn't blame you if we got into a serious thing and then you, like the merch thing, like this tuft and needle thing. You've been,
let me
I don't
do
know
merch.
How you're gonna, I'm kidding. So yeah, I don't think people know.
No, yeah, you're right. Because, you know, you don't know how it's going to be to date somebody. You mm-hmm. could be friends forever, and it just no that idea. Was a bad idea.
Outer space. No fucking idea what your body's
You doing. Only know when you do it. Yep. And you only know when you do it for a while.
Yep.
So.
And you have to go through a bunch of. There should be like a. Like, you know, the Al Qaeda training camp where they're doing the monkey bars and all that shit? There should be a real life scenario where you can, like, stress test your relationship. Vacations are kind of that. But a vacation, and then you get like, but it's like the game.
Dude, it's called The Amazing Race.
Right.
You can get through The Amazing Race.
You can do anything.
You can do anything.
Yeah.
Yo, when the couples fight, I love it. Have you ever watched The Amazing Race?
Not in any way to
speak. It is so good because, you know, at the beginning, you can see the girls really controlling or the guys really controlling. And the way they interact, it's so, if you're ever bored and you remember what I'm saying,
you can see them going like, I can't believe they're gonna be like this, and then slowly they're like, you know, you're really controlling, like episode 4. Like, you did it here, and then they cut to a montage of like, you did it on the train in Paris.
Yes,
you did it. Yeah, it's on the Nile.
Nile,
when that alligator bit me.
Goodbye.
Go ahead. Stupid. For the next one is all you, dog.
You've got mail.
Hey, Nene and BB, I'm not going to gas y'all up because y'all breeze over the compliments anyway. Respect. My question is, how does one get their point across or have someone understand your perspective clearly in context? I'll have friends ask me for advice on topics I'm successful in, whether professionally or as a hobby. But when I give it, it seems like they assume I'm lying, keeping my secrets to myself, or that things couldn't work the way I described and I just got lucky. It leaves me to feeling like Dave in his joke where he was pleading, please believe me, after being accused of fucking a bitch he never fucked. It worries me because it feels like they're stuck in a loop of asking me the same questions and not changing their behaviors to try and yield answers. But I just can't make that clear enough to them. So, how Neil feel? What Binky Thinky?
That Dave joke, that's where he's... I think that's the thing where it's about Bill Clinton. When you don't fuck... When you didn't fuck a woman. Right. But that second beat... Dave is such a fucking funny screamer. I'm like, please believe...
Right. I was like, I'm not doing this scream so correctly. Funny. he's a funny screamer. He is.
People don't want to hear it, man. People don't
want to
hear nothing.
They
people
want you
hear,
to listen to them.
Yes. They want you to listen. They want you to encourage them. They want to feel like they made a good decision. There's a person, a comedian, who I got into a fight with because they said they were doing something. And I said, I kind of wasn't not supportive. I was like, be careful there. Da, 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 da. And this person was like, you're worse than Chris about being discouraging. And I'm like, me and Chris, she's talking about Rock, are fucking old men with a shitload of experience. We might be negative, but that's only from repeated experience. It's like, so yeah, they don't want to hear it. They don't want it. People don't want to hear. That's what I always say when someone goes, I go, what do you want here? I'll always ask people, what do you, if they send me something, I'll go, what do you want?
Yeah,
do you want me to, do you want, there's the VIP level where I'll tell you exactly what I think and you can actually use, you can use the advice. Or if you just want me to go, if you want me to rubber stamp it and go, this is great, then you rubber stamp it. If somebody's already made it, you got to rubber stamp it.
Oh, yeah. No. But also, it's weird that people go to, I mean, know your audience. I would never, remember I told you I'm writing something. I'm never going to, one, ask you for any advice or anything. Because why? One, you don't want to read anybody's thing. Two,
no, I don't want to read my own shit.
You don't read your own shit. It's like bugging dishes. And three, if you're not prepared for the answer,
yeah,
don't ask the question. And most people don't want the answer.
They want to hear. So it's like you want hear your, you want, you're asking is, do these pants make my, do these pants make my ass look fat? Which is fine in a relationship. Like that's the part of the relationship is just lying to the person right. about, yes. But if you're talking about a professional or an artistic endeavor, do you want to know what I think? I'm just one person, but you clearly respect my opinion for some reason.
Right.
Do you want to know or not? Do you want to know or not? So people, but most of the time, they don't want to know. They want someone with your level of expertise or taste to like it.
Yeah.
And it's I bet you do. But sometimes we all are capable of duds.
My friend asked a bunch of us to do a table read just to see how the thing she was writing was flowing and then to give critiques. And I wrote, and I told her afterwards, I was like, there's so much stage direction. There's pages, one page of stage direction. I'm like, I'm going to skip it. Like if I was I'm like nobody, and also it's people's assistants reading it. They're all going to skip it. They have so many of these to read.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, her and her writing partner were like, I don't agree with that. No.
Cool.
And I was like,
cool. Okay. Don't agree with it. Why would, okay.
I'm not trying to take you down.
You're saying, here's the soup. And I'm going, this seems too salty. We disagree. We love salt. Like we're kind of basing our thing around salt. So cool. There's probably a reason there's no salt-based soup places. I always say, I'm just one person.
Right.
But here's what I think.
Me, my little old me, this is
little
just
old me.
And you can take it or leave it.
Yes.
But when you get a blowback, it's like, don't ask me.
Rock will always yell, what are the odds I'm wrong? I'm not, I might be, but what are the odds? Like,
he sounds fun. You make him sound like a curmudgeon. He
He'll be
fun.
On here.
Oh, my God, please. That would be so fun.
Petrified to speak in public. Doesn't want to get canceled.
Goodbye. You've got mail.
Go.
Hey, Neil and Bianca, I have a question for you regarding my situation. I'm a 31-year-old male virgin.
Wow.
How did this happen, you wonder? I was a fat fuck, one word, in high school, which closed down possibilities of getting tail there. As the years went by, I found the love for my hobbies more enticing than fruitless pursuits of ass. Around 30, I finally got my shit in order, lost the weight, and started to pursue the healthy life. Again, I don't think that your hobbies being more enticing than fruitless pursuits of ass are an unhealthy life. I think that's fine. Hmm. If you're now the fat fuck part, that's where
that's
I get.
Not, that's where you
that, you know how I feel about that. Here's my question. Do I bring up the fact that I have zero experience in bed to my partner? Should I lie about it and say something like I'm out of practice or just be honest about it? I'm very concerned about this since it's not normal for men to be in this predicament. It seems that as a man, you immediately set off red flags if this is brought up in conversation, but it might be even worse if she found out another way. I especially want to hear what Binky thinks since it would mean a lot coming from a woman. Lay it on me.
Let me tell you something. Okay. If you've lost the weight, and you feel good and you feel like you can get out there, I think women would be happy to have their boyfriend be a virgin. Not pursuing it or seeking it out at all like a guy. But I don't think it would be this huge deterrent. I think it would be kind of sweet. And you know he doesn't have – he's not going to give you, you know, like HPV.
He might pop it off. Oh, he won't give you HPV, but he also won't give you an ORGASM.
Organism? He might not, but boy, is he going to be malleable. What's the problem? I'm just thinking.
I'm really surprised by this.
Why?
Because I assumed you would have said, as I was reading this, I was like, oh, Bianca's going to say lie.
No, I wouldn't mind it. I mean,
I don't know if you're in the minority or not on this.
I'm very surprised.
I thought the majority of women would say, I don't care. And then you would be like, no, fucking lie. I'm very surprised that you think it would be sweet.
The only reason why I think it'd be sweet, pause, is because he went from unattractive to attractive.
He went from Asher to classy. Yeah, go ahead.
If he looked how he looked the whole time and just couldn't get a girl, I would be not interested in that.
Right.
By the way,
what happened. He was just fat.
That's all that happened.
He's fat.
Whereas I know people who aren't fat.
Fat fucks disease. Go ahead.
I know men who aren't fat, who are just weird as fuck,
uh-huh.
and haven't really gotten a girl into their adulthood. That is uncomfortable for me.
Yeah.
And you don't get the luxury of knowing.
Yes. I think there are multiple reasons why you don't get laid as a guy.
Yeah.
One of them's your body. One of them's no confidence. One of them's too into your hobbies. The idea that you would want him to be malleable is fucking funny to me.
No, I mean sexually.
I know what you mean.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if I've mentioned this on here. I knew a woman one time who was having like a booty call situation with a guy. She's like, we barely talk. He has really bad Asperger's, but he can make me squirt in like 90 seconds. Because of his fucking, he had a beautiful mind for vaginas.
Beautiful mind for vaginas.
So she used to meet up with this guy, and I don't know if it was squirt, but like explosive orgasms. And I was like, if a guy ever said that, I'm meeting up with this mentally challenged woman. He'd be in jail.
Asperger's.
But women, I know it's not mentally challenged, but I'm saying like, the idea of like this shut in. There's a woman who lives by the train tracks that I go and see because she can make me have an orgasm. And it's like, we don't talk. She just makes me have an orgasm and then I'm on my way. That's basically what this woman was saying. It was like, if a guy did that, it's women. Women are always given the benefit of the doubt with the sexual stuff where it's like, oh, well, she wants to get married. So, in the meantime, I would like imagine a guy saying what you said, which is, I would like a female virgin so she's malleable.
But that is why women can sell their virginity online. It's not because there's the underlying desire from a man is that, yo, like, I'm going to be her first. I can do all. I mean, there's this.
I know when it's fucking gross, but when you said it, it was cute.
That's
my point. But, my point is,
I need to asterisk this. I've been with sexually conservative guys, and it's similar to being with a virgin, I'm imagining. And
define sexually conservative.
Just straight up, like missionary
squares.
Just bed squares.
Don't shit on missionary.
Okay. And I'm not shitting on missionary. I'm just saying. Hey, does it have to be like, I go down on you, you go down on me, then and I love just being the one that's like, you know, we can do way freer shit than this. Like, yeah. Sky's the limit.
Yep.
And seeing a guy go from like, oh, okay, I'm like, we can be perverted. It's fine. We're in a safe space here.
Yep.
And then what they can't, like unleashing the beast, it's so hot. So it's like, I mean, whatever.
Yeah, great. This guy.
It's not so much like, I'm going to manipulate you to give me orgasm. It's more like, hey, if I can.
You and I have a secret thing.
Yeah, if I can be, like, if I can make you comfortable enough that you get to explore what things that you've only thought you could do, like, let's do it. I'm not afraid.
And then do you tell people what you did?
No, what? No. Neil's
who
like,
was
great.
Saying that thing? Oh, I was talking. Do you hear that joke I did about finger in the ass.
Oh, wait. Yes. There was something I wanted to talk to you about.
I do a joke about guys not letting girls.
Oh, wait. Yes.
I don't want to blow it because it's fucking so funny. But I was talking to a comic and he's like, I don't want a girl to do something I like because then she's going to tell people about it. Like butt stuff, like a fucking dildo or.
Some women will, if you scorn them, fingers in the booty ass bitch.
Yeah, that's
you.
What they did to Kanye.
Yeah, fingers in the booty ass bitch.
Which is like, just fucking own, just be like, yeah, I did that. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, sorry. There's a hole on my body and it went in there. She stuck a finger in my body and I liked it.
I knew a guy who used to, like, he was like a dork around town and a girl who dated him said that he had this thing called an anal slim. It was like a vibrator that goes up your ass. And so people would yell, call him anal slim. So it has its ups and downs.
Fuck. People.
People.
Goodbye.
They're still crazy.
You've got mail.
Hi, Neil Bianca. I love you guys. I always look forward to your podcast each week. I'm also in high school. I was wondering, what's the most inconsiderate thing that someone has ever said to you? This is a very good question.
I love inconsiderate.
This is a real story that happened to my mom. My dad suddenly died last year, and my family goes to grief support groups. They normally have therapists and psychology students to help facilitate the group. One time, my mom was talking about how hard our life has been after my dad suddenly died. My mom went into great detail about how life hasn't been the same since he died. A young college psychology female student told my mom that she completely understands what she's going through because, quote, I completely understand. My cousin is allergic to gluten, so she has experienced the loss of not being able to eat bread, and just like you have experienced the loss. The girl said it so confidently, too. When my mom told me this, I couldn't stop laughing at this dumb girl.
God, so many I'm thinking.
I love that. I like to think that you're black and the girl was white. That just makes it even better.
Right.
That gluten just is the same as losing a loved one. Although bread is my best friend. I'm a pizza comedian. I think eating pizza is the funniest thing you can do in a dating app. I have so many.
Okay, let's do some rapid fire ones.
In college, these are just the ones I'm thinking of.
Okay.
In college, I drop at NYU. I'm handing out flyers for the comedy club, for the Boston Comedy Club, which Sarah Silverman did, Nate Bargatze did, Pete Holmes did, tons of people did. And Jerry O'Connell, the actor, we went to college together. And
cool.
He saw me and he goes, Neil, he goes, guys, this is Neil. He dropped out of NYU, but he'll be back real soon.
That's just a funny zinger.
I know, but it was fucking freezing and I'm handing out flyers and I'm not me now.
Oh, I'm my a guy. God.
He's Jerry That's O'Connell.
Me. Oh, and he was Jerry O'Connell at the time.
Yeah. He'd been in Stand By Me already.
That's fucked up.
It was, yeah. He's like, we've joked about it since.
It's so funny. He must be a funny guy.
He is funny. Yeah. That's one.
I remember this girl I was in the dorms in college and, it was two bedroom, one bath. So two girls per dorm, two per room.
Yeah.
And one of the girls had a friend visiting and, everybody was two white girls. I'm black and my other, I'm miscellaneous brown. And my other roommate was Brazilian exchange student. And so one of the white girls had a friend visiting. She was white and she proceeded to organize our pantry. We had it by shelves. Like, this is my shelf. Everybody had four shelves. Uh-huh. And she proceeded to organize the pantry. She's 6'1". And she puts, I was the only one who baked. Sorry, she puts all the baking stuff at the top. So I look, I'm like, what the? I was like, hey, sorry, who like fucked with the pantry? And she's like, oh, I'm sorry. I just went to help out. Like, I just organized it. And I'm like, yeah, but all my baking stuff is at the top. And she's like, oh, you bake? And I was like, I don't know why it felt racist. I was like,
oh, it felt racist? I didn't know what the angle was.
I just felt like she like leaned down and was like, oh, you bake? And I was like, fuck you. Like, I don't know.
That's a microaggression.
I didn't get mad. She doesn't know. I was like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you mind putting it down? end of story.
That wouldn't even register as an insult to me.
I just felt like, why do you think they weren't my, they were only in the two white girls shelves and me and my Brazilian roommate who we did all the baking. And I was just like, I didn't know how to handle it at the time, but I was like,
She assumed that the white woman baked.
Yeah.
The other white.
And I thought about it. I'm like, I guess I, do you assume black people bake?
Bake sounds like a white thing. I don't have any baking stereotypes. I can work on it. I'd be surprised that if there was a black woman and a white woman and they said which one of these two people are more likely to bake, I would go the white woman.
So then I thought about it. I was like, I mean,
so that's not even that inconsiderate.
It was at the time. It felt very bad. I don't know what was going. I was very
all right,
young.
Here's just to put this in context. Did I ever tell you the half baked editing story?
No, but tell me.
So. We make the movie, then they're editing it, and the editor is a huge editor, literally edited Rocky.
Wow.
And but I didn't like what he did.
Okay.
Right? So I had to go in. I don't even know if he's alive. but I had to go in and sit with this guy who edited Rocky and Ace Ventura and Liar Liar and all these movies, and edit the movie the way it had to be edited, right? It was supposed to be edited. The whole time he's just like,
he's
arms
so
folded, literally says, there's too many chiefs in here and not enough Indians. That's, again, this is 1997.
Jay Leno, get out
exactly.
Of here.
This is 1997. That was the thing people could say. And then we do a test screening and it does, like, the jokes work. The guy looks at me and Dave and goes, I guess you guys aren't retarded. So again, that's real in consideration.
Okay, I'm
like saying you guys were retarded and I guess you're not.
That's so fucking rude. That was probably a compliment in a weird way.
It's like a backhanded compliment. Yeah. Like, oh, you guys aren't retarded. It was still like, you fucking idiot.
Yeah, you fucking dumb.
Yeah.
Okay, I have one.
Okay.
Okay. This one I think might be better.
Yeah.
So my dad just passed away and we're all sad and sitting around our house just staring. And there's a bunch of people, you know, Persian people come in droves. And this one lady, like wife.
On camel? Camel, go ahead. They come in on camel. Go ahead.
No.
Bianca, please.
Bianca,
we don't have time.
It's called a Mercedes.
Bianca.
Yeah, thank you.
Sorry. American camel.
Shut up. So this lady corners me and she's like, I'm so sorry to hear about your loss. I'm like, yeah. She's like, I am so sorry to hear about your loss. Yes, thank you, no problem. She's like, you know, you really need to get to Marshall's. They have a sale on black clothing. And I was like, I mean, dad's body's still warm. I was like, okay, yeah, thank you. And the whole party, she's like,
did you go to Marshall's
she's
yet?
Like, you have to go. And then, like, at one point, I was like, dude, this bitch comes up to me again. And she cornered me and she's like, this is our culture. At Persian people, we wear black for 40 days. That's 40 outfits. And I was like, leave me alone. I didn't say that. I was like, no, I totally understand. I'll go as soon as I can. But I remember being like, bitch, is that all you had to say to me? It was only that. It was clothing, outfit related. So strange.
Yeah, I mean, again, you've had a pretty good life so far. A comedian.
First of all, someone died.
I get that, but again, women be shopping. okay. Women be loving outfits.
Sorry, someone insulted you handing out flyers.
That's significantly worse. Significantly worse. Like, my life is on the line. This one was just trying
your
to get you to...
Your life is on the line?
I literally dropped out of school, and he's like, this fucking idiot. Guy called me retarded. I'm not... Again, that's...
Two people called you retarded, and one was bad. One was a... You were making a movie. It's not
yeah,
so bad.
But again, inconsiderate. Someone once... A comedian I know once... he doesn't know I know this, but he referred to me as Dave Chappelle's typist.
Ooh.
It's pretty bad. You're mad that I said I didn't stand behind your
no, I don't care.
You're mad now.
Goodbye.
Okay, this is an audio or video question.
Audio.
This is a good one. I'm about to get in trouble, Bianca, so cheer up.
You've got
Hi,
mail.
Neil and Bianca. This is Penny in Somerville, Mass.
Hey, Penny.
And I had to turn off this week's podcast because I was getting pretty upset with Neil ranting against violence against women for some reason. Neil, you're so much smarter than this, and I expect so much more from you. And Bianca totally nailed it when she said you were all lives mattering the topic. The truth is that violence against women is a unique problem with causes and consequences that are different from general violence. Historically, domestic abusers and rapists have been given a pass by law enforcement and society. And also, many people think that men beating their wives and children is their God-given right. Moreover, perpetrators of mass violence are always found to also be domestic violence perpetrators against women. So addressing that problem, in the end, addresses the larger violence problem. Maybe Google it or something. Anyway, that's my two cents. And that's my dumb pun about my name. Thanks for the podcast. Generally, I love it. Bye.
Neil, maybe Google
Penny,
it or something.
You bitch.
Neil, Google it or something.
I did better than Google it. I'd already ordered a book on tape called No Visible Bruises, which is about domestic violence, right? And
you're Michael Vicking the situation. I love it.
I'd already, like, I'm interested. So the stats are fucking horrifying. I'm not saying I excluded domestic violence when I was talking about it. I was like, domestic violence is a separate issue. It's the, if you're talking about violence in the home, of
no, we, when we talked about it, I said most violence against women is domestic. And then we talked about it.
And
in
I
that,
think I said I, that I'm not including that. I'm including,
I don't remember that. So yeah. I remember us talking about it specifically because that's most of
violence
what
in the home is the difference between normal violence, violence against women is you're really not supposed to beat up someone you're supposed to love.
But violence against women, this thing you were saying, oh, when people are like violence against women, it's, they're mostly talking about domestic violence.
Yes.
So
when I hear violence against women, to me,
they're
domestic
not talking about,
violence
like, bitches getting in
is
a fight.
The category. To call it violence against women is, that's where I get into like, but what about all violence? Do you know what I mean? Like, if I hear domestic violence, I know what that is. That is,
of course, yes.
Generally
no,
speaking,
saying, for sure.
A spouse beating their spouse or children. Violence against women to me is just that they're separate things, which is why I was saying that violence against women is a dumb category because it's already taken care of in domestic violence. Like, to call violence against women, it's like,
that's what you're saying now. I didn't,
but that's what I meant. I don't know whether I said it or not, but the reason I was saying the why aren't we just against all violence? It's like, domestic violence to me is its own horrifying thing.
But violence against women is mostly like you made a point that 90% of violence is against men, but let's just say most violence against women is from men as well.
Oh, of
course. So what is, you know, when they say violence against women, they're just talking about that. I understand you're saying, hey, that's a dumb name, but in the end, that's really what they're talking.
Domestic violence covers it to me. Like, domestic violence, I'm never going to be like, why are we fucking...
But is this an argument about the name of a, like, a movie? Like,
yes,
a thing? Like,
but
why?
Because we already have domestic violence, called violence against women. It's like, just make it domestic violence. It's already set up.
But that's like saying...
We have the stationery. I understand the All Lives Matter thing, and I actually thought about it during the week. My point is... Domestic violence, the stats are terrifying. And it's the whole emotional ecosystem of an abusive relationship.
Yeah.
And when women are talking about violence against women, that's what they're talking about.
That's what it
is. But when I hear it, I think, well, why is that worse than violence against men, right? Domestic violence is worse than violence against men because domestic violence is a supposedly loving relationship that you're contractually obliged to stay in. So that's why it's fucking horrible.
Of course.
But violence against women is like some lady got punched in the street or something. I'm not more. That's where you get into that weight class.
But what I'm saying is, how are you confusing violence against? I just don't understand how you got that. That's like saying, oh, you can just say civil rights takes care of it. Why do you have to say Black Lives Matter, you know, or something similar to that? Like, it's a name to bring.
I understand Penny's point. No, I understand your point.
Sometimes you need a jazzy, like,
right.
Violence against women.
I don't think about domestic abuse. That's not my head goes to, like, we need to cut down on crimes against women on the street. That's what, and statistically, most of those are actually on men more than women, which is irrelevant. But I'm saying, I also want to thank the guy who sent me the rag last week. It didn't work, but I thank you. but thank you for, because I can't find his DM.
That's Neil's rubber stamp, by the way.
Thank you. You flatter me, but it did not work. So the stats on domestic violence are horrible. They're indefensible. They are, and I'm in no way, when I was saying why are we not against all violence, I exclude domestic violence from that, because that's its own category, which is a contract that you're locked into somebody that's supposedly based around love and children. That's where it's like, oh, you motherfucker. And then you feel trapped and you feel obliged to stay. Mm-hmm. Now, what's great about this podcast, I mean, let's throw up the Neil Gonna Apologize. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was like, this sounds like a Neil Gonna Apologize.
Too long an end note. It's fine. It's fine. Thank you for sending in
the
song.
Critiques.
But look, you want it or not?
You want rubber stamp?
What do you want?
You want the truth or you want
So I do apologize for saying I really am not giving short shrift to domestic violence, because I lived in an abusive home. Like, I'm very sympathetic to it. It's when I hear violence against women, I just think about all violence against women, and I'm like, well, why are we not against all violence?
But the interesting, and so got it, you apologize. I think it makes sense, because I actually thought about it afterwards and I was like, that's such a weird stance for him to take against something so clearly that needs attention.
Of course, you know? It's I'm on the right. I'd already ordered the book. Like, I'm not like, man, these bitches.
I'm not the book, y'all.
I don't think that men. I talk about it. I've done jokes about how late the marital rape became illegal. Right. Spout like hitting your wife. Most countries in the world, you can still hit, like, stoning. All that shit's archaic and insane. Yep. It's just when you call it violence against women, I'm like, why? It doesn't say domestic abuse to me. Violence against women just feels like we need to stop women getting punched. Like, it's like, well, why is it, if there's a mass shooting, which, by the way, in that book, I've heard that a lot of mass shootings are domestic violence, in that a lot of times they want to shoot the woman and then they shoot a bunch of other people too while they're on the subject. Like, a bunch of them are domestic abuse.
I thought one of the kind of telltale profiles is actually not getting a lot of attention from women. Like, and not having a very shaky relationship with women. Like,
it's incel. Not. Most of, 50% of the time, a mass shooter basically has a history of domestic abuse. That's the one stat. And then the next sentence in the book was, most mass shootings are a continuation of it. Or not most, but a good portion of them, which it was like, oh, I've never thought about that. Like, they wanted to shoot one person and they're like, well, fuck it. If I'm killing her, I might as well go out, kill them, kill myself, kill fucking everybody. So blessings to you, Penny. Penny, I'm not
Penny.
Too big to apologize, Penny. You know what's great about me, Penny? I pat myself on the back for doing the absolute least. Penny, you know what's great?
Goodbye. You've got mail.
Go, Bing.
Okay. Hey, Neil and Bianca. Neil, I was wondering if you might be able to go into your experience using mushrooms to assist with depression a little more. I was on Lexapro most of this past year, and although it relieved feelings of sadness and social discomfort, it basically just made me uncaring and numb. Do you still find mushrooms helpful, and in what ways? Thanks.
I like mushrooms as a microdose.
Do you feel it?
No, you don't feel like you're on mushrooms. You forget you're on them.
What do you feel?
You don't feel any. It's a tenth of a dose. So what you end up, my experience with microdosing mushrooms is, again, you take it, you have to grind it, pill it, whatever. That's the way I do it.
You grind it, pill it.
Grind it and pill it, yeah. And then make my own pills. Fucking make my own pills.
What? And, how do you, sorry, I know I interrupt, but. How do you know how much to do?
I have a scale. Micro scale.
Cool.
I'm cooking that Pyrex. I got the triple beam.
Stupid.
It makes me really impossible to get mad. That's what I found when I microdose. Like, I cannot get mad.
I love it.
Yeah. It's like, I can't even be bitchy, which is most of my personality. Which, if you know me, is a lot of my power source.
Are you microdosing now?
No. God, really? No. Yeah. I'm thinking about it, though.
Do it. Well, why don't do it? What's the reason?
I don't know. Because I get toward the end of the day, I tend to get a little spacey.
Spacey?
Memory, recall. Mm. On stage, I'll be like, what am I doing next? All right. Like, yeah, which, no, so if I have a spot, good. It's not the hottest.
Yeah, no. Is it just a, you know, when you're first taking something, an adjustment period, or does that last? Like, how long have you?
There are people that microdose, like, on Reddit, they say do it like 2 days on, 1 day off, maybe, or 1 day on. And then there's just different, like, if you're going to do it, look it up.
Interesting.
There's different protocols.
Where do you get your mushrooms from? Silk Road.
I'm not telling you. What do you think I am? Stupid?
Let me get the plug.
Do you think I'm fucking stupid trying to entrap me? Bianca, we only got one more week of Tuft and Needle and then we're home free. We can say whatever we want.
I'm sorry.
Guys, did you go to Tuft and Needle? If you get a mattress and it's going to make us look good, you don't have to rate us. Maybe tell your friends about it. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, keep the questions coming.
We love it.
We love the questions. We love Penny. Penny was right. I'll look you square in the dead ass in the face and tell you
dead
that I fucked up.
Wait,
and I'll break down some steps.
You're going to Bangkok.
Yeah.
And when you'll be there,
I'm doing a show in Bangkok. Go to neilbrennan.com. I'm also, I haven't even announced it yet. Really? I mean, it'll be out by Tuesday, but I'm doing a show in Manila. As well.
So you're going to go Bangkok, Philippines?
I'm doing Philippines, Bangkok.
Philippines, Bangkok.
Yeah.
Are you just going to be Bangkok? No. Island.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm going to the island. I'm going
Which one?
Phuket.
Phuket?
Yeah.
You got to go to the east, dude.
I know, but I like the west because it's by the airport.
Oh, yeah. It's got a good airport.
I mean, it's the airport. So
what
it's
the airport? There's one on Kosumai.
Oh, I didn't know that.
There's one on Kosumai you can fly in.
Damn.
Anyways, all right. Well, end of the year.
Guys.
Send Neil presents. He loves it.
Donate to charity. So here's what we got.
Oh, yeah.
Tuft and Needle. Support it. The Neil Brennan shirt at Built by Wendy. Selling real nice. Real happy with it. I gave Will and Bianca ones last week. They're enjoying themselves. Shows in Bangkok, Manila, and I'm doing the Shumash Casino January 25th.
I like that casino.
I've never been.
It's a lot of that sweet, sweet inland SD crap.
IE?
No. It's like Temecula. Santee.
Oh, got it.
Clanty. That's what they call Santee. Clanty.
So it's a little...
is a little like
white powery.
It's a little WP. But they're cool. I mean, everyone's drinking. No one's like trying to start anything.
Oh, well, yeah. If you're racist and drinking, that's probably the best thing.
Yeah, I like my racist drunk.
I don't. You know, I don't. No, I don't. Yeah, come see me in Shumash. Shumash.
Cool.
It's all on neilbrennan.com. It's a fucking wonderland over there. Hey,
love you guys.
Thanks. I fucks with Bianca on Instagram. Look or go.
Merch coming soon.
Get out of, no, over my dead body. Bye.
Goodbye.